In today's Million Dollar Mindset podcast, we're highlighting two ultra in-demand millennial products for 2017. First off, everyone, and I mean everyone, is cutting the cord and watching their favorite programs via Amazon Fire TV or Roku. DirecTV Now is the new wave of cable TV, and the game will never be the same. DirecTV Now gives you over 100 premium cable channels starting at $35. Listen, people, I'm talking about BET, ESPN, Revolt TV, CNN, ABC, NBC, MTV, Fox, ETV, Lifetime, Fuse, Spike TV, VH1, and more. Woo! Think about this. For $1.16 per day, you can stream from your phone, tablet, computer, or smart TV all day. Hashtag results and no hype. Hashtag more TV freedom. Throughout this podcast, you'll see rotating info banners of DirecTV Now. People, I want you to see their vision, see what everybody's talking about, and see why the game has been changed. And go to www.radiopushers.tv. That's RadioPushers.tv. Go to the main page and click the DirecTV Now banner and cut the cord today and let's roll, baby. This viral podcast experience is brought to you by RAI Radio, the new voice of millennial music, and the Talk to Shaylin radio circuit. No more audio podcast, people. We viral. Welcome to the Million Dollar Mindset Podcast Viral Experience. Jonathan with the Million Dollar Mindset podcast, hosted on the Talk to Shaylin radio circuit, power syndicated globally on the RAI radio network. People, we have over 14 licensed digital stations tracked by Digital Radio Tracker. We have 20 artists charting nationally right now in the top 200, top 150 independent, and top 50 R&B and hip hop. We are the new voice of millennial music. The Million Dollar Mindset podcast is designed, it is geared, it was created to push the envelope of the mentality of winners and to showcase the real side of success of these normal individuals out here that are leaving big footprints in the game of business, entertainment, and nonprofit. Today is no different. Everybody from Malik Yoba to Joseph Sikora, all the way down to Rich Dollaz, has been a part of the show, and DJ Self. Today, I'm honored, and I mean super honored, to have one of our Power 500 members, so to speak, of the entertainment business on the podcast today. We got Delonte Murphy on the Million Dollar Mindset podcast. There are people that have the keys to the kingdom, as we say. There are people that understand the dynamics of not only identifying talent, but what it takes for that talent to get from here all the way to the stars. And this guy has it. Some people talk about it. This guy is about it. We're honored to have the head of A&R for Empire Distribution Records, as well as CEO, aka the boss of his own management company, D2 Management, and he's going to discuss his latest venture in management as well on the podcast. Delonte Murphy, welcome to the Million Dollar Mindset.
Thank you, brother. Thank you for having me, man. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here.
I had to give you that Diddy intro, man. Do that for everybody, man. You like that?
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. That's better than the guy that used to introduce James Brown back in the day on these old videos. It just felt amazing. Amazing intro. Wow. Thought I was going to meet Floyd Mayweather coming on here.
I'm telling you, man. Diddy and Floyd got to get at me ASAP. I've been saying that for a year. I said, I got to get Diddy on the show. Once I do that, I know I made it, man. Listen, I want to jump right into it. I want to paint a picture for you. You're at a showcase. You just took a flight. You pop up at this particular showcase randomly, and you walk in to this arena or this auditorium or building, and you're watching the talent, and you see someone that has caught your eye. What type of mindset, what goes through your mind when you hear or see what you potentially feel like could be something special?
It's a great question. Well, I always believe two things. I believe there's a hit record or what we propose to be a hit record and a star. I think you can have a hit record without a star and have a certain level of success. I think you can have a star and a mediocre record and have a certain level of success. The sweet spot is when you can get them both at the same time. So usually when I go to a showcase or a show and I see somebody perform, I always go to the back of the venue and I'm trying to figure out the person who is back by the bar or the sound man is in the back, middle or the back. I'm wondering, are the people all the way in the back are engaged? You know, who probably came and didn't care to be there to see that artist showcase or a regular show. And if you got people all the way in the back engaged and they're not talking and getting drinks or, you know, checking their phones, then I know you got something special. So I'm looking for that first, because, you know, before I even get into everything else. And then I can kind of see that if you got that, those people done bought into you all the way. Everybody there is for you, you know. So the next time any of you guys go out to a show, just go back by the back of the building and see if people really paying attention. I guarantee you, if you go to a Beyonce concert, there's going to be nobody out there just talking and flabbergasting if she's on stage. They want to see her, you know, from the $200 seats to the $5,000 seats, you know, people are engaged. So I'm looking at that. I'm looking at their showmanship after I get past all that stuff. I'm looking at how professional they are. Do they have a set? How do they plan out their show? I think we get away from showmanship now. You know, we're in a weird space because if you look at all the millennial kids, which I love to death, a lot of times their shows are not put together well. It's just a lot. It's like the movement right now in 2017 is, it's like a wave, right? So if you really think about it, kids go to shows now and they get a song that, you know, I guess took off virally, and they go to the show to be a part of the experience of wilding out at the concert. Does that make sense?
Of course.
Yeah, it's like, so it doesn't mean that that person is necessarily a star, it's something caught on, but they want to go and jump up and down and, now we're doing the stage diving again and, you know what I mean, and turning up and doing the dances. It's more about the experience now. So it's kind of like you can't get fooled with that either to me as a manager or as a record executive, because you got to be able to decipher, are they there for the movement or are they actually there for the artist? Because if you close their eyes and another person comes and got a hot record comes on right after them, they doing the same dance moves and the same engagement. I don't know if they bought into them or did they just buy into, I'm paying $20 to go to this concert to go through this experience, you know, right, on a smaller level.
Right.
So that's where people are getting tricked. And what I mean by that, if you look at who I love, you know, when you look at labels now signing the Playboy Cardis, you know, all these guys who had viral success and claim they're not a rappers, you know, Lil Yachty, all these guys were all part of that millennial wave. But, you know, I don't know necessarily if they're there just for those artists when I go to their concert. I think it's just, you know, I'm going to go and be experienced something that I saw virally through their videos on YouTube or whatever, and I want to be a part of that energy, you know. So it's weird, but that's pretty much what I look for. In the midst of all of that, I try to, all that little weird formula I just said, I'm trying to figure out all of it. Do they know the words? You know, if they're
right.
I want to know, do they know the words? Not one song, not the popular song, but the least popular song. You know, if everybody engages, then I know I have something. Because until you show me where what they call mumble rap, I just call it like it's just another transformation of hip-hop, you know, whatever. I don't look at it left or right. Is that the question is, can we take this quote-unquote mumble rap, new millennium way of doing music, and we haven't seen, can we create the next Drake out of that yet? We haven't seen we could create the next Lil Wayne or J. Cole or Kendrick Lamar, which has substance and has some type of star-building mechanisms, you know, traditionally and non-traditionally, to become a global star. We haven't seen it yet. Not unless I'm missing somebody. No, closest is Lil Uzi Vert, and we haven't got there yet.
I agree.
So, I just want to know, is it going to transform? Is it, I guess it will at some point. I just, no one can tell me that all the preparations these other artists have done it before them, that you can kind of skip a step. I don't think you can. You know, so it's going to be who figures out how to take it to the next level. And let me take that back, man. Maybe with having this conversation, you know, just this conversation, maybe the Migos might be the first.
I can see that.
They might be the first to have figured it out globally. It's just that I don't really put them exactly with that. But if you ask other people, they probably put them in the mumble rap category, which I don't. But some people would, and that might be what it is. You know, so interesting stuff, man. But if that answers your question, hope so. My mind goes 100 miles a minute.
It's cool, man. Definitely. Well, you did a great job of explaining how you position yourself in those moments, in the moment rather, of evaluation of an artist. So I think everybody got the point on that. I mean, you speak very clear and you're very, you know, directive, you know, when it comes to, you know, how you want to present everything. So I got you covered on that. I want to dive into this point right here because, again, this is the Million Dollar Mindset. So everything revolves around a state of mind, a winning mentality. You have not always been where you are right now. There has been a process. There has been a journey. There has been the highs, the lows, peaks and valleys to get to this point. And I know you're not to the point where you want to be for the rest of your life because you're a winner. And winners are always looking to ascend. When you wake up every day and you look in that mirror and it's just you before you leave your house and it's just you all alone, what do you see in yourself right now, 2017?
I think I see a survivor. I think I see a man who chose to never derail from the process of making good music or developing a star. I think that focus or that commitment to that has done well for me and cost me other situations as well, mm-hmm. Right? Okay. Everybody don't want to go through the process all the time. I've always stuck to the process because I know that the process has yielded results way before me and it will after me. I think that the reason I'm still in this game is because no matter how people, the process slightly changes as technology change, but I think that there's just certain core things that are not going to ever change. And I think that my commitment to that is what, even if an executive, another counterpart or an executive at a different label, even if they know that that's the right thing and they don't have the courage to stand behind it and want to play that fast food game, they're still going to take a meaning and respect me because I never wavered from it.
Right.
So I see that guy that stay. I don't mind being the guy that says the most unpopular thing if I know it to be true to myself. And if it's not true to myself or somebody can teach me otherwise, I'm willing to listen and learn and say, I stand corrected. But, you know, I stand up in a room where everybody wants to be quiet and sit on their hands in front of the quote-unquote bosses. That's who I see that guy. Right now, that's the guy. Now, the question is, how do I take that guy and be the protector of what I feel like trying to protect music? It's not even just urban music anymore. Maybe that's because I'm, you know, African American. I was born into it, and that's my culture. Mm-hmm. Like, how do I take that and protect it, and protect the integrity of it all, and continue to move it forward without hurting the people that's trying to get in or myself? And that's where I'm at now. Where's the balance between both of them? So that's what I see every morning. That's what I'm trying to answer for myself lately.
Man, I love your veracity, man. So truthful, man. I respect that. That's results and no hype for real. People, this is Delonte Murphy on the Million Dollar Mindset podcast, hosted on the Talk to Shaylin radio circuit, power syndicated globally on the RAI radio network. We are the new voice of millennial music. And this interview will be streaming live on Radio Pushers TV. Over 100,000 people visit radiopushers.tv and watch television. We stream live on Amazon Fire TV and Roku. So I want to dive into this point right here. When you look at the pain you've gone through, I always talk about pain in on every podcast. In life, you have green lights, you have yellow lights, and you have red lights. In normal transportation, a green light means it's safe for you to go. A yellow light means you need to hurry up. Mm-hmm. Get across the light. A red light means you are supposed to stop. As entrepreneurs, as hustlerpreneurs, as I like to say, as people that really deliver, we've all ran lights. Kevin Lyles has ran lights. Diddy ran lights. Russell Simmons always ran lights. These type people, you know, are uber successful when it comes to their careers. In your life, Delonte, talk about a moment where you had to literally run a light to keep your dream, the path you're on, alive. Talk about some of the pain that you've actually going through.
To run a light. So I think that for my career, starting from a kid, I think that I've always been into music, and I always put myself in a position. I didn't take no for an answer. That was one of my buzzwords. And it's funny because I saw a clip of Diddy the other day where somebody told him no, and it was old, like the old Bad Boy days, mid-Bad Boy days, and somebody told him no, and he was like, figured it out. He's like, I'm a monster. I take no for an answer. Give me something else. You can't stop me. And he's doing this video going, wow, right? I've never seen this footage before. I think running that red light means exactly, I think that's exactly what it is. It's like, you're going to hear no 50 million times before you hear a yes. And I think it's the people with the resolve, or for me, it's the resolve of figuring it out anyway. For example, me to answer your question directly, like running a red light was when I left Hampton University. Okay. So I graduated from Hampton University in Virginia. While I was there, I was a big fish in a small pond, meaning that I threw all the biggest parties from 92 to 98, right? 92, 93 to 98. I mean, I'm talking parties where Jermaine Dupri has attended, Aaliyah before she passed, Puffy, Teddy Riley, Jay-Z when he was down there doing his dirt in Virginia before he blew up, the whole nine. And I was a big fish, and then I ended up working for Teddy Riley, and, you know, kind of the golden boy. You know, you're in college, you're driving a Rover, you know, you got your own place, you're making $100,000 a year, you know, between a job and throwing parties, and it was great. When I went to New York, I thought that all these people that would call me to get into the parties and be a part of this crap would say, hey, Delonte, welcome to New York. But, you know, yeah, you took care of us. I got you. I'll give you a job or I'll turn you on to this. But when I got there, it was all like a hurry up and wait and treated me like I didn't exist once I got to the New York border, right? So I ended up working. I had to feed myself, and I had a company back in Virginia where all the money we made, we were pouring into the recording studio that I had built while I was down in the offices and the artists that I was dealing with. So basically, I was up there kind of broke because everything was funded that. So I ended up working, having to humble myself and work at a Foot Locker on 34th Street, right? And that's the biggest Foot Locker in New York. That's the corporate headquarters. And I didn't want to work there, but I had a son. He needs health insurance. I need to feed myself. And I got to go for it. Do or die. I'm in New York. I don't care. They're going to accept me up here. And I felt like leaving at that time because why would I have left the compound of a comfortable situation in Virginia, which I could have ran back to, or I could stay up here and prove that I'm worthy of pledging the music industry. For it to come back to that, pledging the music industry.
Right.
So I sat there, and I remember I'm in the music store, man, and I'm like, man, this is tough. I don't know if I'm going to stay. And then Dame Dash's assistant came in, and Dame came after. And, you know, I worked with them with Jay-Z and Teddy Mandy, You Belong to the City. And we're seeing Virginia Beach, and it was like, yo, what the hell are you doing here, Delonte? I was trying to run to the back. So my boss said, I'm going to strike everything. I'm on lease line, 34th Street, right? This is where, foot, you know, Air Force One was the shit, right? Like everybody. So my boss said, why are you running? I said, man, you know, they see me a different way. I'm up here. This is embarrassing. I was like, I'd rather just stay in the stock room. He's like, first of all, you can't stay in the stock room because I'm your boss. Two, he was like, he said, this is what I know about life, man. He said, if you was that guy and you treated them right in Virginia and you up there trying to feed yourself and your son, if they truly respect you as a man, they're going to try to help you. Right?
Good point. Excellent point.
Yeah, I said, man, you might be right. So he's like, get back out there, whatever. I'm like, don't think that you mind freak me just to get me to go out there and sell these shoes. You're right. But I don't want you to think I was manipulated.
No doubt.
So I went out, and they were like, yo, what you doing here? I was like, yo, man, you know, I moved out of college and just trying to make it happen, but I still got to pay bills. He was like, well, look, Jay-Z needs 100 Air Force Ones. I think it was size 10 and a half, and I need this size, another 100 for me, and then get another 50 for the office and mix. And he's, you know, I guess it was like when I was trying to dip set it all down. You know, they would keep Air Force Ones in office. But what ended up happening is I was like, all right, cool. And when I persevered to that point and going past that red, it was like, I made, the money I made on commission on that one sale was probably more commission I was going to make in 5 months. So one sale. So because I ran to the back when I came out. That happened over and over again. Shaka and Ludacris, who I knew when I worked for Teddy Riley, when they was on a radio station in Atlanta. You know, I met Judge Blaze and all this. Ron Gilliam ended up running J Records when it first came out with Clyde Davis, right? Right. Here's the red light part that you asked about. In exchange for selling them shoes, I utilized me being the Air Force One hookup man to border. Now, if I wanted to have a meeting after working 12 hours, were they going to take it or not? They were going to take it because I can give people the most Air Force Ones at one time in the city of New York where they were on fire. In exchange for me coming in and taking that, you know, take a meeting with me, you had to listen to the producers or the artists that I was working with, even if they didn't want to. You want these shoes? You got to listen to this music. Now, from that, which they didn't want to do, I ended up getting records placed on J Records. I ended up getting records placed on B2K. Et cetera, et cetera. I met Troy Taylor. You know, Troy led me to Trey Songz. And pushing through all that when they didn't want me there, that running that red light, ended up pushing all this other stuff to happen. But it's like, what if I said, this is too uncomfortable. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to live on the floor of my friend's apartment in Jersey City atop of a bodega. When it wake you up at 5 o'clock in the morning with Spanish music and you can smell the food they cooking from below and right. Your feet is in your face because it's a studio apartment. You're literally sleeping at the bottom. You know, his foot is in your face at night. That's how small it was. It was like, what if I didn't want to go through that and pay those dues, you know, to get to the other side? I don't know if any of the things that I've touched has been successful. I don't know. I'm just saying, hey, God would have made it. I don't know if Trey would have been here, you know? I don't know if certain things would have never connected. I'm not saying I'm the end all be all.
Right, but I hate to cut y'all, but I just want to add on to what you're saying. That was your red light moment because nothing would have happened after that because what you did was you went into the eye of your fear storm and you went right through it. And that kudos to your manager, to your GM, because when you're humble, the Bible say that you will be exalted. And that's what happened.
Right.
But go right ahead, my good friend.
Right. And you know what? And it's dope. And I think that one of the books that helped me during that time was a friend of mine told me to read the book, The Alchemist. And I was like, I'm trying to make it. I ain't got time to be reading no book. But I really did have time because I just had enough money to get to work. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Eat, come back on the train. You know, and mm-hmm. One thing I loved about New York was when you're on a train, you got nothing to do. You either read the paper. At that point, you couldn't get a phone signal, right? We really didn't have the advanced phones to be looking at the web page. You know what I mean? That's what Sprint had it on the flip phone. It'd take you forever to check your Hotmail. So I would read. I read this book, and that's what the book The Alchemist is about, right? About this guy who becomes to be king. He goes through all these journeys, and he becomes the perfect king. Well, perfect as you can be, because he walked amongst the poor people and suffered, and went through all these situations. That's the only thing that really helped me besides prayer and the Bible. It showed me that, you know, that, okay, all this is going to work to a greater good when it's time for the God to put it to use. Right. Everything is just training. That's all it was. You know, and I'm still training. You know, I don't think that journey never ends. I think you just come to certain plateaus in life where you could look up on this little plateau and look down to the valley where you just walked out of. But you still got a mountain behind you. You just can rest. You can't rest, but you can turn around and look like, wow, I got this far up. You know, this elevation, but I got a long way to go. But that's how I view it. So, you know. It's been pretty interesting, man. Pretty interesting story, man. Pretty interesting.
That's a beautiful story. That story helped to shape and mold your killer instinct and your winner mentality, man. So, again, man, kudos to you. Kudos to your manager for pushing you. And most of all, man, one of the hardest things in life to do ever is to be who you are. And at that moment, you were an employee at a shoe company, and you were providing for your family. That's who you were.
Right.
And that's, and,
for sure.
And everybody's not going to be everything at one point, because everybody was somebody or something at one point. And that's who you were. But it didn't take away from everything that you built to that point. Throwing the biggest parties from 92 to 98. Having some of the most illustrious stars in the world grace your presence. That says this guy has that. Remember, when Ray Kroc started McDonald's, he was 54 and he was on his, and he ought to have filed bankruptcy three times. He was on his fourth wife. So you got to think about the culture of winning. Winning does not come without losing more than you win. But when you do win, you hit big. And that's the key.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the key to it all. Michael Jordan always say, people always think about the shots I make, but they don't know I miss more game winners than I made. It's just the ones that I made, that's all you remember, because I have six championships. You know what I'm saying? I have this and that, but I missed a lot of game winners. You know, but you're building for the, but you're always building for the next moment. So great.
And I think what you just said was so key. And I thought about this actually this week, and I was like, "What? You know, everybody, what makes a true winner? What makes a true winner, right? You know." And I thought about this probably because of the game, that the game with LeBron, and they lost, and they got beat pretty bad by Golden State round one, right? Yeah. Of the championship.
Yeah.
Here's the deal: when you went back and you looked at the analytics, right? That everybody, I don't even think Stephen A. Smith was on because his mother died. God bless him. Stephen A. Smith, mom, and all that good stuff, bro. But it's about how do you take the losses three games down to one last year and figure out the adjustments. A winner to me can get punched in the mouth and fall down and say, am I dead? No. Okay. I'm going to come back and come at you again, but I'm not going to make the same mistakes that I made to get not punched in the mouth and knocked down. If I do, that's on me. Let me adjust. It's just the process of you mentally and physically being able to get over the mistakes and process them correctly and to move forward and continue to fight the moving forward. I don't think it's as difficult as what people do. And I think people make millions of dollars, which I'm not mad at, of motivating people who just don't know how to get up after they get punched in the mouth.
Exactly.
These motivational speakers, they just motivate you to get up.
Exactly.
But you know, and maybe I take it for granted because for self-starters like yourself, self-starters like me, it's easy for me to process. I got to get up. You know what I mean? I can't sit here. The only thing stopping me from getting to the goal is me. And I think the key with millennials that I want to make sure that I teach to my kids who are millennials, college and graduating high school this year, is what you got to process is don't get caught up in the gratification of now, because technology and it's not you guys' fault, it's just where the world is. It's now. If I don't feel good about myself today, right now at this moment, not even today, at this moment, I could post a picture of myself on Instagram that I think look good after edits and filters, and I can get immediate gratification from getting over 100 likes. Now I'm confident again, because 100 people said they like my picture, right?
Right.
It's immediate. When you're going after whatever business you're trying to build, when you're going after whatever star you're trying to break, whatever you're trying to do, there is no real true immediate gratification. And if it's immediate, I would be worried to know if they think that it's real or not.
Exactly.
It's not immediate.
Right. And just to add to your point, because I've been paid to motivational speak. I've been in that arena before. One of the greatest motivational speakers told me something in confidence, at his compound. He said, you know why people always pay us to talk? Because the minute we build them up, the other side of the world tears them down, which is, oh, you can't do this. You can't do this. So that's why I'm rich. And I laughed because it was probably one of the realest things I ever heard, because this guy just got a check for 15 grand to speak for an hour. And I was a co-speaker with him and I made $2,000, but which means I'm the guy that comes on before him. So basically,
right,
which I'm fine with that at the time. But the point I'm making is this, is one of the things that we preach and New Hype Beast Media Group, which is a division of Servo Media Group Inc. and REI Radio and Radio Push TV. I speak to over 800 artists a month that just strictly submit music, submit viral videos, got questions. The thing I preach to everybody is when you look in the mirror, the only thing you need to hear when you look in the mirror, the only thing you need to hear is your passion running a million miles an hour. Because that is the only thing that no one can take away from you. People can tell you you're too short, you're too slow. It's just like on the movie He Got Game, and Denzel told Ray Allen, it's not the skill of the man, it's the will of the man. So
absolutely.
So when it comes to, you know, where we are now, even in the music business, it was, man, go to radio and you could be a star. Radio hasn't broken an artist in 20 years.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody passed on Bryson Tiller. Everybody passed on Fetty Wap. Kendrick Lamar. All those people.
Bruno Mars. Three times.
Yeah.
But he got another.
Exactly.
Times.
Exactly. The point I'm making is the thing that we do is showcase the artist how you can empower yourself through the viral market, but also, you know, take control of who you are, because people can never take away your passion. So that's why people pay these motivational speakers to do that, because no matter what I tell you, tomorrow somebody's gonna tell you, man, that's a joke, don't do that. But if you're not strong in your core roots, the tree will always grow, but only to a certain point. You're never gonna be a sequoia. You know, I'm a sequoia. I'm going to keep growing because I know what it takes to get there. And it's not what I learned from somebody else. It's what yourself tells you as far as what you can do. And people have to work within their limits of their talent. It's like me. I'm not a guy that can go out there and read a book and put together a bookshelf. Can't do it. Not even to save my life. Won't don't even get me to go to Home Depot. It's not me. All right. But I'm a guy that's an excellent cook. I can manage money. I can write business plans. I can sit down and I can visually put together a beautiful digital advertising campaign that can sell $100,000 easy. But I can't put together a bookshelf. Why? Because I know instinctively, the way my brain is wired chemically, my mind won't even let me tap into that. So I leave it alone. And that's the
gosh, no, and I think knowing you hit an excellent point. I think knowing oneself, and I think that tying it back into like music on the side of it, right? It's like weird to me because now I'm at that age where I've been around, I've done all the traveling, I've developed people, and then you almost see the same type of certain person. You know how they say personality type A, B, C, or D. You can tell when an artist come to you and they even get to the point where you're interested in them. The day in your presence, and I always try to tell people, it's like, okay, you want to be a star, and obviously you have certain things that got you to me that I'm interested in, or somebody else might have been interested in and got you to me. Recognize your talent, and you have all these aspects, right? This is after the show, going to the, you know, like you said, the showcase, or maybe you saw it somewhere, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. The next phase I look at is the phase of, are you willing to do all the hard work and all the things that need to happen? Are you willing to listen and do exactly what needs to happen for you to become this superstar that you want to become? Most of all the superstars, right, who were lucky enough to get in front of qualified people, right, who were good at what they do or had their self-interest.
There you go.
Most of those people become successful. They had to listen and follow instruction to learn their craft or to become better at their craft before they became this superstar. You can't tell me that Kendrick didn't listen to Top Dog about how he should be rolling out albums and what he should be saying and how they're going to get to A to B. At some point, Kendrick is probably going to stop listening to Top Dog and it's going to be more different. But until then, it got him there, right? Beyonce's father got her there.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? The baton was passed to Jay-Z, her husband, right?
To a degree.
I can't even name nobody who's at the top of the game. I mean, Drake had to listen to Wayne for a minute, and maybe once he got to that next, to that tier, he had to listen. I know him personally. He had to. Wayne gave him great advice. you know what I mean, of his mistakes through that whole process. You know, same thing for Nikki. She had to listen to Wayne too. You know what I mean? At a certain point, she had dead. It's like, I don't, like, you got to listen. So what happens is that people want to be stars, but they don't want to put in the work. So I always go, okay, you need to record yourself. I don't want to work with an artist who don't know how to record themselves. That doesn't mean you got to record yourself all the time. I just need to know if we can't afford an engineer, the engineer shows up late. Is that going to stop your session? And they go, well, you know, I don't know how. Well, the problem is, there's two reasons you should learn how to record yourself. Because you're going to know how to be self-sufficient, and you're going to become a better recording artist. Because now when you want to make all these weird noises and want to do these type of vocal things that you would never try with an engineer or somebody in the room, it's just you and a computer. So you're going to become a better vocalist if you record yourself. Do you know how hard it is to get people to buy into that?
Oh, yeah.
It's hard. For them to really get, I need an engineer, and da, 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 da. But when I know all the people who record themselves who are masters, it's not so they have to do it, they get it, you know, wasted months of fighting it. I just don't get the concept. So now it's like, when we were talking basketball earlier, right? You look at, people want to be Michael Jordan, but people don't, or LeBron James, so talented people, these people are the first people to get in the gym. I actually just saw an interview where the people in the cast was like, yo, LeBron James beats them to the gym every single day. I didn't expect that from LeBron exactly. You know what I mean? I know Kobe did it. The question is, he was the one kid that was listening to the Kobe's and the Michael Jordan stories who said, well, I'm not going to change the rule of being the first one at the gym. I'm not going to change the rule for making sure I take so many free throws before every game. You know what I mean? I'm not going to change the rules that you have to, as you get older, you need to develop another part of your game. Like MJ came to the fadeaway. So LeBron now started, you know, he's a better shooter this year from 3-point and mid-range because he know he can't be banging. But if you know that this is the path, do the work. You know what I mean? I look for that person who's going to hit the ground running. You know, what do you need me to do? You need to learn me to record. You need me to learn how to, you know, dress better. You need me to go to dance class. You need me to go, you know, in front of a mirror every day and practice what I look like holding the mic. You know, whatever it is. You know what I mean? I need to know how I learn how to do. I don't care. It's those people that become the superstars, in my opinion.
So let me hit a point direct because that kind of dovetails right into the next line of questioning. Empire Distribution, you are, you know, Empire Records, you are, you know, in the A&R department, you play a big role in that company. You are very important. You are amongst a lot of other great professionals and executives that make that engine go. Let's create a scenario. We have an artist, name is Stoops, and we say, hey, listen, Mr. Murphy, this guy is awesome that we think. Great character, great product, great music, great numbers digitally. Music is making noise out there. Social media is popping. I want you to look at this guy. I want you to tell me what you think. At that point, when somebody wants to step to you or independent artist, just whatever, what can you do from a label or distribution side when they come over to your side of things, if you like what you see?
Well, here's two things that Empire do well. The basis of Empire started with just distribution. And what makes Empire very strong is Empire has strong relationships with Apple, you know, Spotify, Instagram, you know, all these platforms. And I think they were in San Francisco, so they embraced all of that when the labels wasn't exactly embracing it. Does that make sense? So they know the guys there that their kids play soccer together or they're, you know, whatever, right? They can have a coffee break in the same city or, you know, it's not a big deal. Where if you're in Atlanta, New York, or LA, you got to travel to San Francisco to these tech area to get off, you know, to have those relationships, those real relationships. So I think they were able to capitalize on where technology was going and put all these artists on this platform. What made them great outside of a TuneCore or Foundation, these other companies, and no disrespect to them, I've done great work with artists in TuneCore as well, is they're the type of guys that are watching the analytics. I've never seen these music lover guys that are just whatever the analytics they came up with to notice what your socials are doing, your streams are doing, your everything all added up. They know when there's a spike in something. So what they don't do with the other companies, which Empire would do, is they'll be like, hold on, your artist got a spike, right? You got so many streams, right?
Right.
You saw a spike this week. They will go in and investigate, why did we get the spike? Did a celebrity mention it? Did it get posted on a certain site that brought more attention? Da-da-da. Mm-hmm. What are the analytics? They will feed the analytics. It's just the distribution side. They will feed those analytics to try to get you to a point where it warrants, hey, look, man, you done got up to a significant amount of streams. We want to invest more money into your project or be part, you know what I mean, or help you. So you have an 80-20 split. We would have liked to invest, you know, it could be $5,000, $10,000. It could be $100,000. You know what I mean? It's really no cap on it, depending on what they think the return on the product would be. And they'll go, hey, can we renegotiate the splits if we give you money to fund what you're doing? The cool part is you're not trapped into no long contract. It might be, hey, if I put $50,000 or $100,000 in your pocket, you know, towards your project for marketing, radio, whatever, I just need you to deliver another product, a project to me after this, and you're done. So you're not trapped.
I like that, man.
Right?
I love that.
You don't have to, yeah, and if we do good business, you deal with us. Now, here's how I came into the company. Ghazi and Nima understood that
Ghazi
they're good at doing.
Ghazi is the CEO.
He's the CEO of his company, and Nima is general manager. And we don't, he don't really do titles in Empire. I hate saying talk because he's really against it, but if that's Ghazi's owner, that's just point blank. And Nima is second in command. You can call him general manager, you can call him senior VP, you can call him whatever. You know what I mean? They brought me in because Ghazi was smart enough to know this game that I'm playing is a good game, but for me to become iconic and break stars, I need somebody that can develop and help develop the superstar.
Mm-hmm.
Not just hitting those numbers, and like you said, you got an artist that you have and you fed it, we might make sense on it, but there's no, where is the commitment for us to make sure that you get another hit record? You're just turning in your records, right? You're just, you're doing it on your own, and it's bubbling, and we put it out, and then we add money, and then you're doing it. But what if you needed somebody to A&R to really hold your artist's hand or work with you like a partnership to say, I'm going to get you in with Ben Billions, who got some of the hottest records this year. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I'll make the call. You know what I mean? And I think this is the type of song we need to take the labels. Where's the guy that's going to call you and say, hey, I'm going to hook you up with these promoters of Live Nation so that you can get on this tour? See, it's two different services. It's distribution, and now we're going into really a label side of partnering with people. And I was blessed that he picked me to come in to start that transition of the label part of actually having somebody who's been through it from a management position, from being an A&R at Atlantic Records and knowing how to work in the inside, which was like getting a master's degree. Because now I could go take that experience and say, hey, this is what they did well. This is what they didn't do well. This is what you do well. And this, you know what I mean? And this is what you don't do well. Let me pick stuff that I've learned across the way and how formatting is. Because until you work at a label, you only theoretically think you know how it works. You don't really know until you get into those meetings and you get a chance to sit with the sales department and have to go through numbers. And a lot of these kids, and I know you know this, a lot of these artists, I said, well, you signed to that record label. They're like, yeah. I'm like, well, did you ask the CEO or the A&R that signed you? I know you met with the chairman, right? Yeah, they always get. Did you ask them, are they in a profit sharing? Are they in a profit focus year or a market sharing year? You know, what are you talking about? I just want to say, well, it's very important, young man, because if it's profit sharing, then they're not going to spend a lot of money on your project. They're going to pit nickel and dime you to try to get the money out of you without putting in so much money. If it's market sharing, then they'll spend all the money because they want to gain market share. Because here's the thing that people don't realize about the music industry that are part of public traded companies. The money isn't made just off record sales. If you even think that, I'm talking even from the label side, you don't know what the Coopers and them know. All they want is artists to be successful, to say they generated sales so that they can get more stock buyers to buy more stock. And that's when the billions come in.
You better know it. It's called market capitalization.
Exactly. They think, oh, well, Beyonce brought us $50 million. Well, Beyonce is worth more than the $50 million she brought in this year because we just want to make sure that the stock people want to give us $1 billion, even though she only made us 50. The perceived stock market of what we're doing, this business is running. when you understand it from that point, you understand how you as an artist fit into this peon situation, to this structure, and how it is as you grow if you're lucky enough to become a superstar. Then you understand how to negotiate your deal. I think that's why Jay-Z is so successful. I think somebody put him on, and he understood how that started. And I don't know too many people who even get it on that, who work at the label.
I think that part of success comes from the imagination of the actual individual. Because here's the thing about success, just to add on to what you're saying. People, just for the record, this is Delonte Murphy. This guy is a major key. People say the plug. People say the guy, shot caller, however you want to name it, Empire Records, Empire Distribution. This is a guy with the digital key. You heard it first here, the digital keys to success. He has the keys to the kingdom. We're honored to have him on the Million Dollar Mindset podcast, hosted on the Talk to Shaylin radio circuit, powered, syndicated globally on the REI Radio Network. The thing about the imagination, people can tell you all day, you need this to be successful. You need that to be successful. You know, listen to me. I can tell you this. At the end of the day, the imaginative side of your brain is going to take you to a place that nobody can see but you. And to me, when I see people like a Jay-Z, that's where a part of his brain took him there to say, you know what? We need a 40-40. You know what? We need this and that. Now, you add pieces to it, like a Juan Perez, people like that to help him. But certain things Jay-Z had the only vision to see. There's somebody else. There's a Jonathan Wright that's going to be bigger than Diddy because of my vision.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? You know, right now, I'm bigger than Diddy. In my mind, the fact is, I need certain doors to open up more. And wish they will because of what I'm building, just like he was doing when he was building his thing. See, it's all about where that spot in your mind takes you. Just like with you, I can say, you know what? We generate X amount of dollars. We have, you know, X amount of interactions per year. We have 5,000 interactions per year with people. We touch 10,000 people in a year from a communication aspect. From a visionary perspective, I meet a guy like Delonte Murphy, and how do we arrange a meeting at the table to say, this is business? Because I know what we do. I know what we generate financially. But most importantly, I know how we affect the digital market with Spotify and with YouTube and with Vivo with our millions of streams we do every month. See, it's all about the moment. But in my mind, the imaginative side says, let me start working on this blueprint between he and I, between us and them. So that's why I think, and just like with you at Foot Locker, when Dame walks in, from an imaginative perspective, those impulses were pushed through your manager to say, get back out there. And then naturally who you are took over. And then you made 5 months of commission. You did your thing. So your success, even here at Empire, is going to be based on not their relationships, but new relationships you bring in, i.e. REI Radio, where in companies like ours that can say, I'm going to do this for you, and it's going to be on automatic pilot. Don't worry about it. Because that's what make people say, he did that. Just like the Trey Songz, the Kay Michelle situations, everything that you've done has come from you being not only the right place at the right time, but you brought something to the table that nobody else could do, and that's why you are where you are. So
here's my thing when we spoke at the interview at the beginning. Here's my thing. With all of that, all I care about dealing with the stuff that you do, I don't care. If it's Bill Gates, I don't care if the dude who owns Facebook, I don't care if it's Dr. Dre, I don't care. Here's what I care about. I care about the quality of the product once I pass it on to you, and that you recognize that it's a quality product, right? Mm-hmm. You recognize what it is, and that when it gets the exposure, which you and other companies that I would have to deal with can do, that I gave something that's moving the culture forward. I'm giving you a product that if you feel like this product, right, speaks to you and your feelings, and we're just talking musically, right? Bryson Tiller represents the guy that they said wouldn't make it, who talks very candid about his baby mother on the first album, and now this second album, which is good, is about, well, I was chasing you at first. You know, at this point in my life, I'd have been in houses where I could probably get lost in a whole day trying to get out of. So really is, I was chasing you on the first album, they haven't seen you too much, but it's so real, it's so honest. And what he's saying is that you buy into it again. It's like a soundtrack of somebody going through that plight, right?
Trap soul, man. Trap soul.
Trap soul, right. It's going through plight. But the product is good. And it's honest. It deserved the recognition that it got. It's not just bull. You know what I mean? It's not. It's something that you can add. And I think that is what, and I DJ as well, right? It's a whole other conversation, right? At these different spots. And my question is, when I DJ, and I'm DJing records from the 60s to the 50s all the way up to now, meaning when I DJ, you can hear Ray Charles all the way to, you know, pull up, get a stick, right? Or whatever, mm-hmm. 2 Chainz, you know, whatever. The question I got is, I can literally see in every decade of a generation, I can see where this, I can distinctly see what was going on in culture as I play the records. Meaning, if I'm in a certain time period, it's a lot of reflective because of the wars in Vietnam and people, when you got people dying overseas, they want to show their love to their wives or their loved ones because, you know, that's just the way the vibe was, right?
Right.
You could tell going through the 80s, it was a lot about love, too, and dance and all this different stuff. The 90s was about hip-hop growing and revolution and Public Enemy, and then it changed to the gangster day. It's all soundtrack. What scares me about with the internet is so much music coming out, which I love because everybody has control. What scares me now is trying to figure out what the quality of the records and what will the next 5 years music be defined as. Does that make sense? The quality and what does it stand for? That's what I'm trying to, that's the only thing I'm a little scared of. And it's not the millennials' fault. It's the fact that it's so much music and so many outlets and record labels are chasing high streaming records for whatever reason they broke out. And they're not looking at that. I need to be responsible for what I'm putting into, you know what I mean? Into right. The product.
Gotcha. I want to dive into the, yeah, and let me draw a conclusion to that point because I want to get into your new business, you know, like your other business venture as well, you
gotcha.
Know, as for management style. But to me, the shift or the direction of music is no different than the shift of the direction of politics. When certain people die, take for instance, after JFK got shot, where are we going to go? Malcolm X died, MLK. Music is marks time, and music affects the world. So the thing, you know, the great thing about those dynamics is it's exciting to see where it goes, but it's also frightening to see where it shouldn't go. You know what I'm saying?
That's a great point.
Yeah, definitely. You know, this is the $1 million mindset for real. So basically, that's what happened. So it's no different than Ice-T sitting up saying, let me have a conversation with the Migos. But look where he comes from up until now. So, you know, people can say, you know, 50, you know, that 90s era of rap music was great. 50 Cent came in 2002 and just wrecked the game for like 4 straight years. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
If you think of that type of run, he brought it back. If you go before that, it was like DMX killed the shiny suit era. You know what I'm saying? Because
he did.
You know, Puff was riding high, everything was good, and it wasn't cool anymore to do that. It wasn't, but then again, you got a guy, Master P, who to me is the ultimate hustler of all time because he hustled from the South. He didn't hustle from New York. He didn't hustle from LA. He hustled from the South. From an entrepreneur aspect, I always felt like Master P was the greatest because of the real. Yeah, he didn't intern. He wasn't a famous intern. He was a drug dealer, you know.
Right.
And he hustled from the South up here, you know. And that's not taking away from Puff's plight and all that. but it's easier for Puffy or the Jay-Z's to have a certain light on them because you're on the biggest stage in the world, which is New York City. So my point is, you know, like when it comes to, you know what I'm saying, the, you know, the future of music and what it does, it's music always, life revolves around the morals of the world. So to me, seeing the mumble rap and everything like that, and the way people want to consume music, is all about the behavior patterns of these millennials that are born after 1984. So that's just what it is. So, you know, so just want to add on to that. And by the way, man,
no, and that's really dope. Like I'm like I you know, man, I'm guilty. My guilty pleasure is listening to the new music, because I love music, and it's funny because I see a distinct vibe, a line going right now, right? If trap music, you have the trap rappers, or this is another question. I know we're gonna do this and you do your thing with the tape. The question is, where's the line? Like 2 Chainz is a trap rapper, right?
Supposedly.
T.I. was one of the first to get the name trap, you know, trap music.
T.I.
right?
is a trap rapper to me. Okay. I don't consider 2 Chainz a trap rapper. T.I.
Okay, so he's a top rapper, Jeezy, all those guys.
Jeezy is for
whatever.
Sure. Jeezy is for sure.
So now it's like, I don't know what, like, so now to pull up with a stick guy, Playboi Carti, Lil Yachty, what are they?
To me,
because I don't know.
Yeah, to me, those guys aren't that. I think you have to look at the aspect of creating a category of, to me, what they are lifestyle rappers. They represent a lifestyle.
Okay.
To me.
Okay.
Yeah, to me.
No, and that's real.
Yeah, to me, I look at them and they just represent the life. That's why he can go get a commercial with Sprite. Think about it. The guy, like Lil Uzi Vert, he has a commercial with Sprite. With Sprite. Like, you know how long it was for Sprite to embrace rappers?
Right.
Nas, you know, Drake was the first dude to jump on, and then Nas was there, and then they did the Missy Elliott. That was when they were doing the throwback edition. Lil Uzi Vert just jumped there in a year. Why? Because he represents a lifestyle. They feel like his face next to that little green can is going to get people to drink Sprite. That's why they cut him the check. That's just real. I mean, that's just a fact. And Sprite is a big drink in the drug game when it comes to syrup and lean. So they're not stupid. They manipulate the culture in a very healthy way from a corporate perspective, just to keep it corporate. What they say is dirty Sprite, talking about lean. Great going, because they don't know about lean. They know about lean because there's another person in the office that say, get him. They use lean and they use Sprite and all their lean drinks. You know what I'm saying? So that's what it is. It's just like Nas say, we go to their stores in the hood, put their kids through college. You know what I'm saying? That's the not major key. You know what I'm saying? Signature fade with the bevel blade. I mean, he telling the truth.
Right. But
that's my point. That's why Lil Uzi Vert can get a Sprite commercial, but people don't even understand that. I do, because I am a guru of millennial behavior. That's why I'm the AKA the Millennial General, because I understand why Lil Uzi Vert. It's not because his music is great to them. It's because he represents that lifestyle. He's a lifestyle rapper. He's not even a trap. T.I. is a trap rapper, hands down. Jeezy, trap rapper. He was trapping in that 4-door Accord. That's Jeezy. Like that's when you talk about trapping, if you know anything about the drug trade, we talk about trapping. Those guys never trap. So to me, you can't be considered a trap rapper if you never done that. It's like a guy who go to jail for the first time and walk around like he's been there before. You're going to get ate up because you're a fish out of water. So they're not. They're lifestyle.
And you're right. So technically, I think you just defined something new. That's why I love to learn. They're lifestyle rappers. So what has happened from the last rap generation to the new generation, where I personally thought they were going to go more into the Kendrick Lamar side of things, which is talking about things going on politically, right? Black president,
right?
In office 8 years, no one really rapped about that for real. Jeezy made one song, people made references, but it didn't start a Public Enemy, you know, do the right thing, Spike Lee movement, you know? Maybe we got comfortable. I thought that was going to be the trend. Didn't happen. We got J. Cole out of it, you know, whatever, but not on a real wave, right? Then it goes from trap rappers, and then it goes to the trap rappers were selling the drugs. Let's say you got different levels of trap rappers, right? Some people moving kilos and moving real weight. Some people are moving pills. So it went from the celebrating the guy who sold the pills to celebrating the person who uses it. Does that make sense? We're not mad at it. It's just the lifestyle, right? We don't care about you being a drug dealer, but we care about if you get these pills and turn up and you have a good time and you're fun to be around. And it's not that serious.
But mash it up real quick. Let me just dovetail on this point before we move on to your new business venture. Think about this. 2002, 50 Cent drops the biggest hip-hop debut in history, right? Literally every car in traffic is playing, "Go Shorty, it's your birthday. We gonna party, it's your birthday." Now, go through the whole culture being shot 9 times, "Many men wish death on me." So think about that whole vibe of that record. Think about that. Now, take Lil Uzi Vert and make him come out the same time. His career disappears because he doesn't reflect the lifestyle. During that period, that was a lifestyle. You see what I'm saying? So to me.
Got it.
So it's just like D12. D12 could have sold a blank CD because Eminem and 50 were so big. So everybody doing that. People don't forget, Olivia came out before Alicia Keys. I bought her album. I loved her first
album.
But there's a thing. There's a girl with braids, a young girl named Alicia Keys that blew everybody away. But Olivia technically had a better album. But because of but Olivia vocally is better than Alicia. Alicia had the better album. I'm sorry, she had a better album. And she could play piano, and we haven't seen that. So it was like, what if Olivia would have come out after Alicia? What would her career be?
Right.
It would have been better because she would have never been forgotten. That's the key. So my point is, when you come, life is a vacuum. It's a vacuum. So to me, when I look at, you know, now we're celebrating, you know, the people that, you know, like Jay-Z said, y'all respect the shot. I respect the shooter. You see what I'm saying? It's two different cultures. So now people, we popping pills. That's what it is, because that's the culture. That's the lifestyle. So therefore, it's easy to accept that versus, I mean, DMX rapping right now, he can't sell an album that would do big numbers only because of the product presentation. What makes Jay-Z so relevant, even though Jay-Z hasn't had a number one song in a long time, what makes Jay-Z so smart, the reason why I tell every guy in the barbershop this, Jay-Z is the most intellectual business artist we've ever seen. You know why? Because he got a heck of a team around him that knows when to put music out, that knows when not to put music out, when knows what instrumentation will be used. Because think about this.
Right.
When 50 Cent came out, Jay-Z didn't put out one album. The Black Album dropped. That was it. That whole wave, he came back in 2006 with Kingdom Come, and people were like, but the only thing people remember was, but the world was waiting for him. So he sold a lot of records. The first week, he sold like 600,000 records, but the album wasn't like, It wasn't like the Black Album.
Incredible.
Right, it wasn't. Right, exactly. But then he came out with Blueprint 2. But look how he built that up. He built the Blueprint 2 on Run This Town with Kanye, who was hotter than hot, and everything else, and with Rihanna. But it still built, but the album was okay, but it was like, okay, boom. What I'm saying is, Jay-Z is the greatest at calculation. He's an actuarian. You know what I'm saying? The guy, he knows formulas. So to me, going back to the last part of your statement, what the substance of music, it reflects the morals of the world. And the morals of the world is, you know, popping the pills, getting high, live streaming on Facebook, you know, get with the beat, boom, 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 and that's it. So certain people are going to stand out But to me, J. Cole's audience is somewhere in a demographic between 28 and 46. If I'm looking at analytics, because if you're 28, you still like remember 10 years ago, 11, 12 years ago, that Black album or the Blueprint album. You know what I'm saying? So you remember good rap. If you're 40 or 42 or 38, 39, you remember the Nas's and stuff like that. So to me, J. Cole has a sweet market. And it's a lucrative market because they want to hear him and they'll pay for him. So just wanted to say that.
Right. No, that's great. That's great. I love learning, man. So it's all good.
So let's dovetail into you have two management companies, one a more traditional model. The other one that we're going to talk about is really a disruptor of technology and management style, which I love. You told me a little bit about it. Talk about it right now, the name of the company, what exactly does it do, you know, and how can an artist connect with you? Go right ahead.
Right. So my new company is called Relentless Artist Partners, right? Relentless Entertainment Partners. And Relentless Entertainment Partners, or REP for short, is basically that we partner with the artists. As a manager, you know, I would build these brands for these artists, and when the manager's fired, the brand that you invested in, your money, you know, will not last as long as the brand. If you're successful and did your job, that brand will go on, and you will only see small percentage of income, if any, from what you put your work into. So I came up with this idea, like, you know, I'm building artists, but I'm building brands, and I want to own a piece of the brand. This is not a new concept. It's just that no one talked about it up front. When you hear these stories of, you know, NSYNC or whatever, and Lil Permanent and own this, you know, all these artists, these managers that actually owned actually was partners in the brand, owned it today, came up with the concept and put the pieces in place. So I just want to partner with artists who truly want to have a true partnership and say, let's go and let's do it. A good example of that would be Shaka Zulu and Ludacris, right? I don't know how the paperwork breaks down, but I can know it functions very much like a partnership, not a management situation. You know what I mean? They decide things together, career paths, you know, from music to movies to owning things to restaurants to whatever, whatever, whatever. So what I want to do with this is really just partner with people I see that not only have the talent or whatever the product is, the brand, I want to get with people who really, I think, got that. The people I picked that I feel like they could go across many avenues of making money and become the next Jay-Z's or the next Queen Latifah's or the next, you know, Ludacris or Drake's, you know, things of that nature. I want to be a partner in that, and I want to, you know, while they don't, you know, while the artist at the beginning, when an artist starts off, right, they're like, I'll do anything. You're going to be my manager or in my business forever. It never lasts forever.
Of course not.
That speech, every time somebody tells me that, like, don't say it, shut up. Please, be quiet.
For real.
Don't say it. You're going to say it anyway, aren't you? You're going to tell me how loyal you are. And you're going to tell me how you'll do anything, aren't you? Okay, that's cool. So, you know, not even my Shih Tzu is that loyal. So, you know, my dog. So, so I get it. But I think that it just needs to be fair. We grow together. And I think that where I've seen partnerships, Tango and Neo, you know, just different people. I think Jay-Z and Beyonce is a partnership. You know, that brand itself.
I do.
Married or not.
I believe that.
It's a partnership. It's a partnership, a brand partnership, right? I think they work the best because you can't, the thing about a marriage, right, or we call it a partnership, is that if we're a partnership, you just can't get up and run easily if someone tries to tell you otherwise. There's things that have to be done to go through a divorce. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That are major. And what happens if that's the case, then you may think about that maybe not being divorced might not be the thing. We might have to go to counseling and figure it out. When you don't have that precedent, then it's like, I just want out this marriage. You know, the kids, I've never been married, right, because of that. Because I look at marriage as permanent. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, it ain't easy to get out of marriage. You know, you got to go through all type of things. So I just want to be a part of it, and I want to grow. And I think that, like I tell artists, even if I start your brand and we're working together, I might be more experienced to steer the ship. But trust and believe, I want to get to the point where you steer your own ship. Because the time you start steering your own ship, and the less I got to instruct you and the more experience you have, the less time I got to put into it.
So what goes into right? So what goes into the process of if you see an artist that you like, you want to do so? Basically, it's almost like you know, they put up some money for things. They will kind of break down. You know, they say, okay, look, I want to sign with Relentless and go for it. Like, you help them with getting shows, you help them with touring artists. Kind of break down some of the
right.
Kind of break down some of the just amenities that you bring to the table.
Right. Well, if I'm your partner, then here's how I see it. There's no difference. It is a difference. There's really no difference in my mind that if you're on the stage or I'm on the stage. If you're, if we're a partner and your job is to be on that stage, then I have to make sure that I attack every single thing like I'm going to be on the stage, right? And if we're partners, you should be thinking about everything you need to do to make sure whatever business-wise I got to handle on the other side, that you make sure that whatever you're supposed to deliver or whatever you can help in or aid in, you're doing it proficiently. It's like we're one unit, but we're kind of separated. So we move together, and that's every aspect. That's everything that goes. You're just a product. You know what I mean? You're a product. If we're talking about Drake, is Drake the product? You know what I mean? If Drake the product is that making sure that everything is handled, then it's no different than Drake the artist and Drake owning part of the Toronto Raptors. You know what I mean? And what Drake the product and the Toronto Raptors, right, needs to be doing. You know, Drake, you're the Coke can or the Pepsi can, but I think that we need to have the Coke can at every game or if they're in the playoffs in the locker room because it's good for business. You know, or whatever. We're both going to be there. But you see what I'm saying? Every aspect. I don't care what it is. I'm a part of everything. And I'm not saying everything's 50-50. I don't know if that's fair depending on where you're at, whatever the percentage is, but we're partners. You know? And I think that where I see, I don't think it's no different, and I think this is a, let me tell you, I don't know if this is the best example to bring up, but if you, I always felt it was weird that Lil Wayne owns Young Money, but Young Money owns, but Cash Money owns 51%.
I didn't never feel like that was weird though.
Well, you should explain that. At first I didn't think it was weird. At first I thought it was very weird. Like, this is his concept. He collected these artists and
To me, the reason why I felt like Baby and them own 51% because they're the masters at contracts. See, the key to business is indemnification. If you protect yourself well, so right. I think originally in his contract, when they've done renegotiations, he's always wanted to do Young Money. But because he, and it probably in one of his contracts, if you create any other entities, we own this. We own 51%. So at that point, but they gave him a $15 million advance. Okay, great. Because somebody got $15 million in front of you and they saying, listen, if you develop any other brands, Ken's like Empire. Empire is saying, hey, look, Delonte, I love what you and New Hype Beast is doing, REI Radio. Look, we want to give y'all $5 million, but we want 51% of the next venture. You see what I'm saying? It's different.
Okay.
And I think that a real business people invest down the line. They don't invest for the moment. So to me,
that's a good point.
Yeah. To me, Lil Wayne, legally, he signed contracts that he wouldn't sign today. It's just like when it was all coming at Puff. Puff didn't make you sign any contract that you didn't have to. The problem is, you signed a deal that wasn't totally advantageous for you, but Puff didn't take the time to explain that to you either. That's not his job, technically.
Mm-hmm.
But what they're saying, they're great, was why you ain't tell me that? You see what I'm saying? So
right.
That's what, but because see, people get it blurred in business. It takes a real good person to say, you know what, Delonte, if you sign this deal, I'm going to own the majority of any company you bring forth. Now, you are bright. You're intelligent. You bring a lot of things to the table. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take 20% of the company. I want you to take 80%. As long as I'm in any other business venture you do. That's what I would have done because some money, a slow nickel beat a fast dime. That's a hustler's.
Right. Dime. Absolutely. And my point with that, and that's great to know some more information. My point with that is The reason why Young Money worked, though, 51%, 50, 20, 80, whatever, is that they were partners. Because I remember distinctly when Wayne was locked up, Baby was on the road with Drake, right? Absolutely. Going around that tour, making sure he had everything he
needed. That's what made Drake big, though. Drake got big because Wayne went to jail. But go ahead. Sorry to cut you off.
Right. That's smart, too. But you see how the Baby was there, around, making sure they was good, you know, whatever. So it makes sense. The reason why Young Money blew up is because it was a partnership. Lil Wayne did identify the talent and do his part. I mean, the 51 to 50 is just, like you said, a good contract. I felt it should have been 50-50 at least. You know what I mean? If, you know, I thought Wayne put in enough work for that. But, you know, I don't, you know, that's not my business. But what I mean by that is that the reason it all works because it was a partnership. Baby was in it for the long haul, like you said, for the long future. You know what I mean? For the looking to the future. And I think that's what that's why my idea with the partnership thing is about. That don't mean I want 50 million artists. I just want one or three, you know, a few of the right artists. You know what I mean? That's it.
Right.
That has that potential to carry that type of torch. You know?
Right.
And be that long brand. So that's what Relentless Artist Partners is about. And, you know, like anything that we develop, it may develop later. It may be maybe not as intense partnerships, but partner with people for a certain amount of time that need that extra thing that, you know, may not necessarily fit all the way what I'm doing, but I can see where they could be at a certain great level and I can assist it, you know, in a limited partnership situation. So we'll see how it grows. But right now I got Aquar B, who's a female rapper who, you know, her story is incredible. She's from Cleveland Avenue in Atlanta. She got 5 kids. All different family members take care of her kids. She never graduated high school. She been shot in the head. She was on the internet with Young Thug. Had, I believe, smacked her and put his hands on her at this thing, and it went viral.
Yeah.
About a couple of months ago. But what I liked it when I met her, her lawyer called me and told me, you need to meet this girl. She's incredibly talented. I'm like, I don't got time for that. When I met her and I got to see her determination, her being focused and taking responsibility for, no, I don't have my kids. I'm ashamed of it. You know, yes, I don't have nothing else to give, but I'm doing it. And I was like, well, meet me here. Meet this person. And everything I told this young lady to do, she was there early. I don't know how she did it with limited money and no money and all this stuff, but she got there. And at a certain point, I looked at her and I saw clear as day, this young lady is going to be huge. She's going to be like Queen Latifah. She's not dumb. She's highly intelligent, right? Right. I met her family, different people, and I realized that she has something special that's going to go way beyond rap. This is just the intro to the product. She's going to be everywhere, and you can tell from where she want to be, she's going to move into that, like, Queen Latifah protecting certain brands, I think. So I was like, she has to be on Relentless Partners, because I want to help grow her into this big diamond that I see shining in the sky. It's just dirty, you know, it's right out there. You found it, and it's all messed up. You got to clean it up and get it cut and broke down and do everything, but I know what it's going to be. You know what I mean? So I selected her. That's a lot of work. And being a partner with an artist is different, where a manager can turn the phone off and stop dealing with stuff or kind of be like, I'm in it with her 50-50. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's every aspect. So right. That's the first person I signed.
Absolutely. And her story is amazing, definitely. So you can, you know, so your management company helps artists with radio placement, you know, digital branding, probably distribution and also tours or shows or things of that nature. Is that kind of some of the areas that you touch on?
Right, absolutely. Every aspect of the brand and getting it distributed to getting the product out there, the whole nine, every aspect is what I do. I don't even know if it's a limit. Everything.
Got it.
To deal with that artist is what I do.
Awesome. How can people reach you on social media, as far as reach you on social media and kind of delve into your social media accounts and how people can contact you?
Okay. My Twitter is at Delante, DELANTE. My Instagram is Butter, BUTTAMURPHY, Butter Murphy, at Instagram. I think that's it. I don't really do Snapchat, and I should. I'm probably going to open up an account. I don't know. I don't have that yet. I will. And I think that's the main ways to reach me. It's really through Instagram, and Twitter would be my social media accounts.
All right. And like, what's your Twitter handle again?
Delante, at DELANTE.
All right, cool. And then your Instagram one more time.
Butter, BUTTA, MURPHY.
And do you have a Facebook or no?
Yes, Delonte Murphy. I got over 5,000 friends. You can follow me, though. And it's just my name, Delonte Murphy.
Cool, man. Well, you're going to get a follow from New Hype Beast, Radio Pushers, Radio Push TV on Instagram. You're also going to get a follow from IMTV Series and everything else. So get ready to plug that. Just follow us back. We're going to follow you. But that's your question, D. What have you enjoyed the most about being on the Million Dollar Mindset podcast today?
You know, what I enjoyed the most is really the intellectual about, you know, about the music industry. That's what I enjoyed the most. Like, you know, it's always great when you can speak to somebody who's highly intelligent and kind of bounce around what you know. I like to listen more. Like, I'm at that age where I like to, like, I don't like to be the arrogant guy to think he know everything because I don't know crap. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
right.
To be able to ping pong off of people who are smarter than me, and I enjoy that because you're highly intelligent. So,
appreciate
you know,
thank you.
You know, I think I've enjoyed that more, and I think these are the conversations that kids need to have, because I always tell kids, put people around you that are smarter than you. Stop hanging with your homeboys and y'all on the same, you know, not you got your friends. Stop hanging with people who are not, because that's the only way you're going to grow. I've only grown when I've outgrown people smarter than me. You know, in awe, like in having been able to have these type of conversations, you know, and that's what, and I think that if we had to go through like life, right, I think whenever it's like a movie, right, I think whoever got in Jay-Z ear or however Jay-Z read a book or somebody said, hey, Jay-Z, this is the real formula you need to protect and this will change your life. You know, if you went in a time machine, it's always like, who are those people, you know,
right,
who said you can do this? James Brown. Back in the day, yo, you should own your own radio station so you could play your own music. What? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, why not? You know,
right.
Those little moments of those smarter people that's around and put you on to something that takes you light speed ahead of everybody else, you know, in thinking. And I think that I tell my sons, look for who could be those people. It might not necessarily just be your college professor or your teacher. It might be somebody that you intern with or somebody you come across. There's one thing that changes the whole world. Put a piece of meat between two buns and call it a hamburger.
Right.
Really?
Well,
you know.
Definitely. And I'm glad that you've enjoyed being on the Million Dollar Mindset podcast. Let me just brag on you for 60 seconds before we jump out of here. The thing I like about you, if I had to describe you in one word, it would be tenacious. To me, you have a very tenacious spirit, a very tenacious attitude. You're very tenacious when it comes to, you know, what you want and how you're going to get it done. That is why we wanted you on the Million Dollar Mindset podcast. Your energy is so infectious. It's so contagious, but it comes from that tenacity. You won't quit. You won't stop. And you have a very directive path of what you want to be, man. So, again, kudos to you. I look forward to our company. Looks forward to building a relationship with you.
Absolutely.
With Empire and other things. And definitely want to get Empire their own streaming television network on Amazon Fire and Roku so they can start airing their own content in 20 million homes. I got you covered on that. Don't even worry about that. So definitely going to talk about that. We got you covered. That's what I want. So it's been an honor to have you on the podcast today. We've been talking over an hour. It's been great. You have delivered gems, my man. You have dropped some major keys. Anybody you want to thank and give a shout out to before we jump out this window?
Man, first, give honor to God. And also, man, just shout out to Gazi and Nima and Morris at Empire for allowing me to come in and say, go do what you do. I think that I don't take that for granted because, you know, sometimes you ask for keys and they put the keys in your hand and then it's like, wow. You know, definitely want to thank them. And just thank any family members who happen to see this or friends who supported me, who gave me any advice, good advice, bad advice. I think it's all love. It's all good. Thank you for being a part of my road to get me to this point. And the future, you will see how this all adds up in the future. Just want to make good music and great artists.
Definitely.
So that's the goal.
Absolutely. All right, man. Well, listen, thank you for being a part of the Million Dollar Mindset podcast. Our featured highlight product today is DirecTV Now. People, you can stream over 100 of your most premium cable channels for only $35 a month. I'm talking about ESPN. I'm talking about Revolt TV, TBS, BET. Streaming from your smart TV, streaming from your mobile phone, your tablet. Take your cable with you on the go. Cut the cord. $35 a month. DirecTV Now. All right, you're going to see advertisements revolving through this viral podcast, DirecTV Now. Once again, Delonte Murphy, hats off to you. Thanks for a beautiful podcast. Take care. God bless.
Thanks, man.
All right.
Perfect, perfect.
AT&T knows the best kind of holiday is the kind where everyone gets what they wished for. Make this holiday extra happy when you buy one. Get one free on our most popular smartphones, like the Samsung Galaxy S6. Buy one, get one free. So spread some cheer and capture every minute of it. Right now at AT&T, buy one, get one free on our most popular smartphones.